Hello, everybody. It's Pastor Nathan. How's it going? I miss seeing you. I'm praying for you, but I know that God is still working in your life, even while we're not meeting together. And I look forward to seeing you soon and hearing all about what God is doing to strengthen your faith. What I want to do right now is get back into a series in the book of Acts that I started before we stopped meeting. So we're going to be in Acts chapter 2 today. This series is about the foundations of the church, about what's fundamental, about who we are as God's church. And this text is about the day of Pentecost, about the coming of the Holy Spirit, who of course is foundational to who we are as God's people, since the church is the community of the Holy Spirit. So let's pray and then we'll jump in. Our Father, we thank you for your word and that it's true, and I pray that you would speak to us through your word right now. Give us faith, give us courage to believe and live this out. And we ask for your help, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Not too long ago, a friend told me about a fight that he got with somebody else on Facebook. He's a younger guy, in his early 30s, I think, and the person that he got into a disagreement with is in his 60s. And what happened is this older gentleman made a disparaging remark about millennials on Facebook. And so my friend got offended. And so he punched back and he made a snide comment about boomers. And then it just escalated from there. And that whole situation reminds me of how divided people can get from each other. Sometimes over silly things, sometimes it's not so silly. But we can get really tribal and we can put up walls to separate ourselves from each other. Sometimes like in that case, it has to do with a generational divide. Oftentimes it has to do with ethnicity. Sometimes it's about whether you live in the country or the city, because country people have different values than city people, and we can sort of separate ourselves from each other that way. A lot of times it has to do with politics, or if you listen to one news channel, the people are constantly outraged over something some liberal said, and then if you listen to another channel, they're constantly outraged over something some conservative said, and we divide ourselves over politics. As believers in Jesus, we have a heart to reach all kinds of people and to share God's love and God's message with all the people around us. But a lot of times I'm afraid that we look at our neighbors and our coworkers and even our extended family, and we can sometimes think, those people are so different from me. They're not interested in the things that I'm interested in. They have different values, a different lifestyle, a different way of looking at life. And if I started to talk to them about Jesus, they wouldn't get it. And they would think I'm strange. And so we just don't. We just stay quiet and we stay apart in a way. Today I want to talk about how the Holy Spirit approaches people from different cultures and different subcultures. And then how he helps us to approach those people. And the text I want to look at is Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. And so I'll read that now. When the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were staying. They saw tongues like flames of fire that separated and rested on each one of them. Then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were Jews staying in Jerusalem, devout people from every nation under heaven. When this sound occurred, a crowd came together and was confused, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us can hear them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those who live in Mesopotamia, in Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the magnificent acts of God in our own tongues. They were all astounded and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But some sneered and said, "They're drunk on new wine." Jesus had died, and then he rose from the dead, and he appeared to his followers over a period of 40 days in different places and different groups of them. And then he went into heaven. He ascended into heaven. Before he left, though, he gave them a mission. He commissioned them. He said, you need to make disciples. But he said, wait to carry out your mission until you receive the gift that I'm going to give you, until you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's where this account picks up. There are 120 followers of Jesus gathered together in Jerusalem in a house, in an upper room. And it's 10 days after Jesus had ascended to heaven. And all of a sudden, something incredible happens. They hear this loud sound. They see flames of fire descending on each one. And it looks like flames of fire. And then they start to speak in tongues. And we'll talk about what that means in a second. So what had happened? Well, the Holy Spirit had come. God's Spirit had come. It sounded like a violent rushing wind. I'm sure you remember what it sounded like when Superstorm Sandy came through here a few years ago. It happened on a Sunday morning. And our windows were rattling. And it was loud and powerful, and it blew over huge trees, and you could see the whole root system that had been just blown over because the grass was soggy, the ground was soggy, and just blew those trees over, and it was powerful. And so God's presence is a powerful presence. In the book of Ezekiel, there's a promise that God's Spirit will come like a wind, which will blow on dry bones and make them come to life. And then Jesus tells Nicodemus that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is like a wind. He says, you don't know where it comes from, but you see its effects. And so this sound of a wind shows these people that this is God's presence. It's a powerful presence. It's mysterious. It's a life-giving presence that is there. And then it looked like fire, like tongues of fire. I saw one time as I was driving, you probably remember this is just a few months ago, there was a house across from the Better Value that caught fire, and I was trying to go to Plainfield that day, and as I was going to my meeting, I saw the house. The road was blocked, but I could see the flames coming out of the windows. The house was still standing, this huge house, but totally on fire. And so I had to take a detour and go to my meeting. And then a couple hours later, I came back through and I could see the house again, but the house was devastated. It had collapsed. The fire in just a couple hours had just totally demolished that house because fire is powerful. But when the Holy Spirit is like fire, it's not a destructive presence, but it's a powerful presence still. Like when Moses saw the presence of God in the burning bush, like fire that burned but didn't consume the bush. It's a sign of God's presence. So the Holy Spirit looks like, it sounds like wind. He looks like fire, and he's distributed on each person. So each person received the Holy Spirit for himself or for herself, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus had promised that his Spirit would come to his followers, and what he says in the Gospel of John is that the Holy Spirit wouldn't just be with them, but the Holy Spirit would be in them, And this is the beginning of that, that Jesus sends his Spirit and the Holy Spirit comes and he takes up residence in each person who is a believer in Jesus. Before this, God's Spirit would sometimes come and rest on a person or help a person, but then the Holy Spirit would leave. The Holy Spirit would come and go. But starting with Pentecost, it's a new era, it's a new time period that the Holy Spirit now comes to every person who believes in Jesus. And so when you believe in Jesus, the presence of God is in your life, an indwelling presence. The Holy Spirit isn't just an energy or a force, but he's a person. He's the third person of the Trinity. And I know, you know, I can't really understand the Trinity. I can't wrap my brain about how God is three persons and still one God, but it's true. And the scripture teaches it that, and God is beyond our comprehension. Praise God that he's beyond us. But the Holy Spirit is personal, not just an energy, not just a force. I heard somebody not too long ago talk about a conference that he went to, and it wasn't anything having to do with the church or a Christian organization. It was with business. But he went to the conference and he said, you know, there was a fantastic spirit there. There was a spirit of unity, and it was an exciting spirit. It was a fantastic spirit. And that's the way that he talked about that conference, the spirit of the conference. Now, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we're not talking about a spirit in the same way. It's not an energy. It's not an emotion. It's the person, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God who indwells us and lives inside of us and helps us to live for God. So from then, from this time period on, whenever somebody believes in Jesus, whenever someone trusts in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in each one. And if you're a believer in Christ, God's Spirit lives in you, and he's working in you, and he's working through you. He's transforming your life. And by the way, that's a source of the unity that we have right now, even though we're not meeting together, is there's one Spirit of God, and each one of us has that one Spirit. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, and one Spirit that unites us. And so we're connected in one body to each other because we each share the presence of God in our lives, the same God, even though we're apart. The Holy Spirit is working in us, he's in us, and he's transforming our life. And so now let's talk about how the Holy Spirit transforms our life and what he's up to. The Holy Spirit, what he's up to, as you see in this passage, is that he is carrying on the work that Jesus started. What Jesus did is that he restored our relationship to God. Sin had caused our relationship with God to be broken, to be severed. But Jesus died on the cross for our sins so that that sin is no longer an issue to separate us from God anymore when we trust in him and when we receive God's forgiveness. And that means that one day we'll live in God's presence forever and ever after Jesus comes back. But we all have God's presence, all believers in Christ have God's presence in our lives already, right now, in the person of the Holy Spirit, in our hearts, in us. And not only that, the Holy Spirit wants other people to experience God's presence too, people who haven't yet believed. And so what he does is he uses us, he uses believers in Christ to share the good news with Jesus with other people, so they can believe too. And this is what we saw happening here. When the Holy Spirit came, they were each person who had the Holy Spirit started to talk. They started to declare boldly the magnificent acts of God to other people. That the Spirit helped them to have the confidence, the boldness, and the clarity to explain to other people what Jesus had done, that he died for sins and rose again. They went out in the street and they spoke, and they encountered there all kinds of people from all different places and backgrounds, Jewish people who had come into Jerusalem to celebrate. There was a religious festival during that time, and they had come to celebrate that festival, and then maybe some of them also were from the diaspora, but they had come back now to live in Jerusalem after they had maybe grown up or their families had grown up in other places. And these people were from everywhere, all over the Mediterranean world. And the good news about Jesus is getting out to all of them, because the Holy Spirit is empowering the believers in Christ to share with them. The Holy Spirit wants all kinds of people, people from all kinds of places, from all kinds of cultures, and all kinds of backgrounds to believe in Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit wants. And this is a fulfillment of what God has always been doing. Even if you go back to God's promise to Abraham that we talked about months ago, that God tells Abraham, through you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. This is happening right now in Pentecost, that God is getting his message to people, all different people, to the nations. God loves people from every nation and every culture. The Holy Spirit wants people from every place and every culture and every language to bow at the name of Jesus. When you experience something great, you want to tell somebody about it. You want to share it. All the time I'm getting recommendations from people, like they saw a movie and they love it and they want me to see it. Or they read a book and they say, this is so great, and they want to share it. And I do it too. Like I'll say to somebody, oh, I heard this great song. Don't you want to hear this song? Or if you go to some place, it's one thing to stand there and just appreciate the beauty of a new place, like a beautiful river that you saw or a beautiful sunset. But you don't just want to see it yourself. You also want to share it with somebody and tell somebody about it. Or even a good recipe. When you experience something wonderful, you want to share it with somebody else. And the Holy Spirit, since he wants all kinds of people to enjoy the presence of God and to give God glory, when he takes up residence in believers, he helps us believers to share the good news with other people. And even people who are different from us, especially people who are different from us, that's what he does. That's what he's up to. That's his purpose. And the way that he did it, the method that he did it on the day of Pentecost, was that he miraculously enabled the Christians to speak in foreign languages, languages they had never studied. You know, I spent years and years trying to learn Spanish and working hard to learn a language as an adult. But these believers in Christ, the Holy Spirit just miraculously gave them ability to speak a language they had never studied, they had never spoken before, to speak it fluently, so that, at least fluently enough to explain the good news about Jesus to the people that they encountered. So when they went out into the street, and if they found somebody from Rome, they were able to speak in Latin to that person and explain the good news in Latin to them. And then you go to somebody from Egypt, and you're able to speak in that guy's language. I don't think they spoke Arabic yet in Egypt then, but they spoke Egyptian or whatever they spoke in Egypt then. They spoke to that person in the language that that person could understand. So the Holy Spirit miraculously enabled the Christians to overcome the barriers which would have prevented them from understanding the good news, the linguistic barriers. And that should be no surprise, because that's what Jesus did when Jesus showed up on our planet. He didn't speak some heavenly language that only he and God the Father spoke to each other. You know, he learned the language of the people that he lived with. He learned Aramaic, and he spoke to them in their language. He inhabited human flesh and human culture and spoke in human language, local language. You've heard me, some of you, talk about this before, but I've seen a bumper sticker on a truck here in town, and the bumper sticker says this: welcome to America, we speak English, learn it or leave. Welcome to America, we speak English, learn it or leave. Now, that person, whoever has that bumper sticker or whoever wrote that bumper sticker, views the world through a certain lens. And so he takes a certain posture towards people who are different from him, and he wants those people to accommodate to him, to become like him, to learn his language, to learn his culture, to become like him, to assimilate to him. Now, when you view the world through that kind of lens, that's your posture towards people. I'm so glad, though, that that wasn't the way that the Holy Spirit viewed me, and that wasn't the Holy Spirit's attitude towards me. The Holy Spirit didn't say, Nathan, you need to learn Aramaic so you can learn the good news about Jesus. Oh, and by the way, if you go to any mosque on a Friday afternoon for prayers, you will hear the Quran read in Arabic, and everybody is expected to assimilate to the Arabic culture. But Christians aren't like that. And the Holy Spirit is not like that. And when you view people through the lens of Jesus's kingdom, that's not how you're going to view people either. Instead of saying, you need to accommodate to me, you need to learn my language, you need to become like I am, and then if you can learn all my vocabulary, then maybe you'll understand the good news about Jesus. Instead, you'll say to somebody, you know, I love you. I want you to experience God the way that I have. I want you to I want to share the good news about Jesus with you. So I'm going to adopt to you. I'm going to accommodate to you. I'm going to try to put the good news in language that you can understand. That's how the Holy Spirit views people, and that's how he helps us to view people. That's what he did on the day of Pentecost. Now, for most of us, most of our neighbors speak English, but there are a lot of subcultures out there and a lot of different ways of talking. Even different professions, I'm sure you've noticed, have different ways of talking about things. Have you ever listened to a nurse, especially one who just got out of nursing school, explain a health problem? I mean, it's like listening to another language. Or if you have you ever listened to like an IT guy, a tech guy, talk about computer networks? It's like I listen to this guy talk about computer networks, and it's like they might as well be speaking, you know, Korean to me, because it makes no sense to me. It's like a totally different language. So even in our world, even in Canterbury, people have different kinds of subcultures and different vocabulary that they use. And it's an amazing diversity that's happening even in Canterbury right now. On my kids' sports teams, I mean, I've met parents like at games. Like there's a guy I met from Kenya, a mom who's from Poland, another mom from Puerto Rico, a dad from this really strange place called North Carolina. There are people from all kinds of places and all different kinds of cultures, and they're all different backgrounds, and here they all together here in Canterbury now. In our own church, there are people who have these vast cultural differences. Like some people love the Patriots, some people like the Giants, some people like the 49ers. And sometimes even those people are in the same family, and there's these deep divisions, inexplicable divisions that are happening. Now, the Holy Spirit will help us to love people who are different from us and help us to put the good news about Jesus in words that other people who are different from us can understand. Now, typically today, the Holy Spirit doesn't do it miraculously, so we can speak a language we've never spoken before or never studied. I'm not saying the Holy Spirit can't do it, but that's not his typical way now. Typically now, he does it through just giving us a heart to love the people that we encounter and then allowing us just to listen to them and learn what they're interested in and learn how they talk and learn what speaks to them, what speaks to their heart. And so then we can put the good news about Jesus in terms that really speaks to them as we spend time with them and listen to them and love them. The mission of the Holy Spirit is for people everywhere to trust in Jesus and to be reconciled to God. And he carries out his mission through us, helping us to love the people around us and to adjust to them so we can help them understand the good news. That's what the Holy Spirit's up to. So let's learn to rely on the Holy Spirit to do that, to share the love of God and the message of God with the people around us. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this word, and I pray that you would help us. And we want to just rely on you as you help us to share with the people around us. Yeah, I pray that you show us grace as we do that. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.